So I'd like to call on, first of all, Yossi Friedman, who came in from Israel's Project and Science Bar team, to share with us a couple of ways that you can reach out.
Thank you very much, Reb Chaim. Reb Chaim said I'm going to mention two ways to reach out today. I'm actually on a very strict timeline. I have 5 minutes for each. I did calculate in these 5 minutes time to applaud, so if you find that the time calls for it, please feel free to do so. Firstly, I would like to thank all of you for coming and participating in this historic event. I would like to thank mostly Rabbi Trapp and Rabbi Samson for working around the clock to arrange this wonderful convention. It's truly an honor to work together with you day in and day out. I would also like to thank Yisrael and Cecilia, who are here, who work tirelessly behind the scenes to make sure that all the materials, the booklets, the posters, and everything else was done well and on time. Thank you. I want to thank Vicky Cohn, who headed the registration team and did such a wonderful job. As you can tell from the attendance here, this was no small feat. Thank you, Vicky. Being that my wife is back in Israel, you'll know that I mean this next one very sincerely, and believe me, I do. I would like to thank the spouses of our wonderful staff. This past month has been very challenging, and it was with your support and dedication that we were able to pull through. And yes, it does go for my wife as well. It's truly amazing to be here a whole weekend and to hear from all of you in your communities what you've done, to be inspired. But I have to tell you, one of my most shaking experiences in Project Inspire was about a month ago. I was in the Poznanski home in Flatbush when I was approached by a very distinguished-looking fellow. Shalom Aleichem, he says, Yitzchok Shemin Ostreicha from the Traveling Chassidim. Having never met this amazing group, I introduced myself in return. Yossi Friedman, Flying Litvak. After learning what these guys were up to, I was totally blown away. I remember flying back to Israel that night, and on the plane, I'm sitting there just muttering under my breath, the traveling Hasidim, the traveling Hasidim. And the guy next to me is looking at me. He finally left me alone. I guess it was better than Allahu Akbar. But they really did give me the confirmation that we can do this, and with Hashem's help, we will. Nearly 6 years ago, my father, Olav Shalom, was walking to shul on a Friday night when he met a young man entering the apartment under the shul. After wishing him a good Shabbos, the young man introduced himself as Bernard. He was a completely unaffiliated Jew from California who was beginning a career in marketing and just landed his first job in New York City. To his luck, he happened to rent an apartment directly under the shul. After chatting for a while, my father explained that he lived just a few doors down and that he was more than happy to have him for a Shabbos meal. Bernard was very appreciative, and while he explained that Friday nights in the winter were not good as he had to work, he would try and come another week for Shabbos day. This began a serious relationship between Bernard, our family, and East 24th Street. He began to eat by our house almost every week. Others on the block began to invite him as well, and a rotation of neighbors began volunteering their time to learn Torah with him. It wasn't long after that Bernard felt he just needed to know more. It was at that point that my father suggested that he go to yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael. A week ago, I received a call from Bernard, now Baruch, who is now learning in the Mir Yeshiva. He was calling to share the big simcha. He had become a chassan to a girl from Lakewood. And friends, as I stand here at this very moment, he is celebrating his vart in Eretz Yisrael. I tell you this story because I am sure that most of you here know someone, if not you yourselves, who were unaffiliated, went to Israel, and changed their lives forever. There is clearly a magic that exists in Eretz Yisrael, and more specifically, in the yeshiva or seminary that in Israel that is life-changing. However, if someone would suggest to you, hey, do you know a secular Jew? Yes. Why don't you suggest that he go to Israel? You'd be like, whoa, Israel. It's so expensive, it's dangerous. I heard that shawarma is not healthy for you. Sending to Israel is not on Project Inspire's easy outreach list, and for good reason. Mainly because, yes, it is expensive, and secondly, how can I tell someone to stop their lives for a year or two or three? They have jobs, families, etc. So I'm here today to tell you that I can resolve all of these concerns for you, besides, of course, for the shawarma dilemma. Ace Jerusalem, with the help of generous donors, is offering you the chance of a lifetime to make the ultimate difference in the life of a young man or woman. You have the chance today to send someone to Israel for a few short weeks for as low as $499. That's right, $499, including airfare. Those of you who fly will know that $499 can get you from New York to about Iceland. You might be concerned that a few weeks just won't do the trick. That's incorrect. It's a misconception. If we think that it's our responsibility to make someone frum, we just haven't stuck around Project Inspire long enough. I tell you firsthand that in just a few weeks, students have the ability to transform their lives. They are surrounded by people who can inject them with inspiration, with people who can answer their questions, and by people who are sincere Ayde Hashem. Maybe even too sincere sometimes. I should share with you, recently I received a phone call. It was Friday afternoon. I got a kick out of the Schwitzer film, but of course it had nothing to do with me. That was until I got a phone call on a Friday afternoon that from a student, David, who says, Rabbi, I have a shaila. I was holding a coffee. It was Sakanas Nefashas. He says, Rabbi, I explained to him that I'm not a Pesach, but go ahead, give it a try. He says, my mom sent me this wonderful prayer to put into the wall at the Kotel. But I felt that it was more appropriate if while I was at the Kotel, she would call in on the phone and she could speak directly to the Kotel. Okay, what's the shaila? Rabbi, can I be in the men's section when she does that? I am holding a card. Actually, if you'd like to know, I answered that in my extensive research in Shas and Poskim. I don't think it's a problem. I'm holding a card with information of these men's and women's programs. I urge you to take full advantage of this unbelievable offer. I once saw an advertisement from Citibank that read, lower your APR to as low as 2.9%. Offer expires when you do. While that might be true for Citibank, this offer is only available for a limited time, and I urge you to take full advantage. Thank you. We can start the clock again now. Over the weekend, I had a real schuss to meet so many of you from different communities, and many of you had questions of, this is our situation in the community, what can I do? And I was totally inspired by the fact that everybody here was looking, what can I really do practically? And it really showed me how this next presentation and this next idea is all the more practical and useful. We call it easy outreach. Let me explain. In our renowned Kiruv of training seminar, we teach what we call the four misconceptions that Jews have about Judaism. However, there is something else we need to know. There are four, if not more, misconceptions that frum people have about doing kiruv. Time is short, so I'll only point out one or two. The first misconception is that kiruv is all or nothing. As I mentioned before, we already know that it's not our job to make people frum. It's our job to make a move. It's our job to feel and be responsible for Hashem's children. But ultimately, it's the Rabbanu Shalom who brings the lemaisa. In fact, this misconception is mind-boggling if we think about it. Can anyone here translate the word kiruv? Ha'ivrit sheli lo kol kach tov, but Google Translator translated as closer. He also translates makariv as to bring closer. And that's our job. It's amazing how the translation of kiruv became making somebody from. It's not the only translation that gets misconstrued. I was once explaining a Gemara in my shir, and we came across the word rigaim. I explained to my shir that the root word was rega, which, for those who don't know, means a moment. I asked my guys, does anyone know what rega means? So Jason pops up from the back of the room, and he says, sure, Rabbi, it means please open the door. I said, open the door? He says, absolutely, Rabbi. Last night I was on the number 2 bus, and as we pulled out of the bus stop, a woman yelled out of the back, rega! And promptly the driver stopped and opened the door. Maybe that's how the word kiruv got misconstrued. Another misconception is that kiruv is very time-consuming. And again, we all know that this does not have to be the case. Time is short, so I will get straight to the point. Project Inspire has created gifts for almost every yontif for us to share with our less affiliated Jews who we know. Depending on the yontif, the product can range from a Shalach Manos to a Shana Tova card to a Hanukkah basket. It could even be a film specially prepared for that yontif. These gifts make kiruv both easy, quick, and efficient. Hence the name Easy Outreach. After all, how long does it take to send a gift? You ask, so it's a little gift, it's a Shalach Manos. What difference can a little gift make? So along these same lines, I would like to tell you that although I did keep to the rules, and I understand that the panel for women yesterday was for women only, but I do have my sources. And at the women's session yesterday, women, one after the other, everyday women stood up and spoke about how they changed lives by simply sending out a yontif gift. One story that was extremely compelling, and I apologize to the women that were there that I am repeating it. There's a woman sitting here in the room who her daughters were walking in the wooded area and got lost. They ended up on the front steps of a couple, and the couple nicely brought them in, contacted the parents, and eventually they were returned home. And as she's putting her daughter to sleep at night, she says, Mom, you know, I noticed that the people who took us in had a mezuzah on their door. But, you know, they didn't look exactly from. So why don't you do that kiruv thingy that you do? She realized that her daughter was right. And as an easy outreach, she had one gift left over from the Rosh Hashanah campaign. This is 18 months ago. She brought over the gift, and she began a real relationship with this family. I am proud to tell you that 18 months later, this family invited 10 Aish students last week and hosted them for Shabbos. However, many of you might say this is a very intense story. Not for me. Another person wrote in how by just giving out a Shalach Manos, it prompted a coworker to ask him about Tainus Esther. And he ended up giving a 20-minute shiur in his office to the non-firm employees about Tainus Esther. Surely these are small gestures, but if we realize again that it's not our job to bring people to be Shomer Torah Mitzvot, it's our job to make that effort, then even a small gift can go that very, very far. In addition, we don't only have campaigns for Frum to give the non-Frum, but many of you already saw this booklet outside. This booklet is a compilation of different sugyas in the sugya of Kesh Echad B'Lev Echad, or Kol Yisrael Revim Zelazeh. I urge you all not only to sign up for easy outreach campaigns and to distribute them to as many non-Frum people as possible. Already 40,000 gifts have been given out to 10,000 non-Frum Jews. But we need to make it 4 million, and we need all your help in doing that. In addition, this will be available outside for you to distribute to your shul for Frum people to go over the sugyas that they were not zocha to be here this weekend, and they might be inspired by this booklet. I thank you all for coming and thank you for listening.